1 Thessalonians 2, verse 17. This is the ESV. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavoured the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labour would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come back to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints.
Morning, everyone. I'll pray. Father God, thanks for speaking to us in your word. As we read your word this morning, please, through your words, strengthen and establish our faith in the Lord Jesus. Amen. This part of 1 Thessalonians reminds me how a couple of months ago, I was on holiday with my family, and we walked into a shop one day, and with four kids, every time you turn a corner, you kind of do a bit of a head count anyway. We walked into this shop and four kids followed us in. We started looking around, and the kids wandered off one direction. Claire wandered off another direction. I was having a bit of a browse, stopped to look at a couple of things. After a while, the kids came running back to us. They wanted us to look at something they'd seen. Claire and I spent some time chatting about some things we were considering buying. The kids ran off again. At one point, the kids came back and we realized there was only three of them. We were one short. Our three-year-old was no longer with us. So we started looking around. We walked around a few of the aisles. Nothing. We started thinking, when was it that we last saw all four of them? 10 minutes ago? Heart rate started to get up a bit. Started walking pretty quickly back to the front entrance of the shop. Within a few seconds, we're realizing he's actually not in the shop at all. All sorts of things start rushing through your mind at that point. There's a busy footpath outside, and anyone could pick up a three-year-old. There's a busy road outside. One moment I was calm, within 60 seconds, I was ready to yell at strangers across the shop. I was ready to run down the street. I was ready to call the police. There was one emotion that very quickly had taken over, sinking in my guts, ringing in my ears. That emotion was fear. Now, if you can imagine what that might feel like, then you can imagine how the Apostle Paul is feeling in this part of 1 Thessalonians. Fear. Paul is almost overcome with fear. He tells us he is afraid. He's been separated from the Thessalonians. He dearly, dearly loves these people, and he's been separated from them. And he's desperately afraid of what might have happened to them. The emotion Paul's describing here is fear. Last week, Paul described his love for the Thessalonians like the love of a parent for their children. This here, this week, this is fear at being separated from those he loves. Desperate distress, not knowing how they are. Now, just in case you want some closure, we did find our child. There were a few tears. He was okay. And at risk of spoiling it, Paul's fear also turns to joy when he finds out the Thessalonians are okay. In fact, they're more than okay. They're more than okay because they are standing firm in the Lord Jesus. Paul discovers they're standing firm in the Lord Jesus. So this part of the letter is going to help us discover the joy of us seeing each other standing firm in the Lord Jesus. And discover the things that we can do to help each other stand firm in the Lord Jesus. But we start with Paul's fear. He's afraid. He's been separated from the Christians in Thessalonica, and he can't bear it, not knowing if they're okay. So have a look, chapter 2, verse 17, where we started reading before. And as we read this first bit, I want you to notice the particularly emotive language Paul uses. Chapter 2, verse 17. He says, "Since we were torn away from you, brothers and sisters, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavoured the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us." Paul says he's been torn away. Your Bible might even use the phrase, he's been orphaned from them, like a parent separated from their child. Separated and yet so eager to see them, apart physically, but with them in heart. He's got this intense longing to visit them. He's tried. He hasn't been able to. He's heard nothing about how they're going. Now you can imagine his concern, because remember last week what we read in Acts 17. When Paul was with them in Thessalonica, the Jewish leaders were stirring up riots against them. They were dragging them before the authorities, taking their money. Well, now Paul doesn't know. So he's escaped, but they're still there. Are they still suffering? Has the suffering gotten worse? Are they still sticking with Jesus? Might they have given up because it's become all too hard and all too much? Take a look at verse 19. Here's the heart of Paul's fear. Verse 19, he says, "For what's our hope or crown or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy." Here's what Paul's afraid of, right? He is afraid of missing out on the joy of being able to stand shoulder to shoulder with the Thessalonian Christians before Jesus when he returns. It's the thought of missing out on that, standing with the Thessalonians before Jesus when he returns. So the thought of missing out on that, that has Paul completely shaken. He's afraid, he's dreading what might be happening. It's not like he can just send them a text. He says multiple times he can't stand it any longer. And so he sends Timothy to find out how they are. Have a look at chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this, for when we were there with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it's come to pass and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. There it is. You see Paul's fear? His fear is that they may have given up on the gospel. The Jewish leaders in Thessalonica were doing everything to intimidate the Christians there, to stop them following Jesus. Paul kind of expects that. He had been telling them that that might happen. His worry, his fear is that it will work. His fear is that all the time he spent with them sharing the gospel, all their excitement at discovering forgiveness and rescue in Jesus, what if all of that comes to nothing? What if the pressure's too much and they give in and they stop following Jesus? That's what Paul's afraid of. That thought, that worry, he just can't bear it. He's almost going out of his mind, worried about the Thessalonians. Are they okay? Are they standing firm in Christ? And so he sends Timothy. If you want a vivid picture of how desperately Paul wants to know about their faith and encourage them in their faith, take a look at a map of Greece. Paul sends from Athens for Timothy to visit Thessalonica. Now, according to Google Maps, that's 5.5 hours drive down the A1 highway in Greece. And even more if you want to avoid tolls. I reckon it took a lot longer than that to walk. But Paul sent a message all the way there and all the way back to find out about their faith. Those were the lengths he was willing to go to encourage them in their faith. Now, here's some really good news for us. We don't have to walk 1,000-kilometer round trip to encourage each other in our faith. You can just chat to the person next to you. You can have each other over for dinner. We can send a text. We don't even have to go 1 week not knowing how we're going in our faith. We don't even have to go 1 week without encouraging each other in our faith. It's our hope and joy to see each other faithfully following Jesus. We know there's nothing more important than continuing in faith until Christ returns. So look, if you're not sure how someone is going in their faith, maybe you've got a friend here at church and you just haven't seen them in a couple of weeks, not at church, not at small group. If you're worried that someone here is under pressure or tempted to give up on following Jesus, if you're worried that someone you know might be drifting, well, the right reaction is fear, real concern for that person. But again, here's the good news. The right and the wonderfully easy action is just to get in touch with them. Find out how they're going and encourage them. Do what you can to build them up and strengthen their faith. There's nothing we're happier about and nothing more worth boasting about than each other as we follow Jesus together. And we can do that much more easily than Paul could. We can do it and be thankful we don't have to walk half as far as Timothy did. Have a look, though, how Paul felt when Timothy got back. When Timothy got back, Paul's fear became joy. Because it turns out the Thessalonians were standing firm in Christ Jesus. Have a look at verse 6 of chapter 3. He says, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you, for this reason, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith." They're standing firm. Paul's comforted. Their love and their faith is still there. It is still strong, and he's encouraged. And have a look at what he says next in verse 8. He says, it's like the life had been drained out of him, and now it's back, now that he's heard about them. Verse 8. He says, "Now we live if you're standing fast in the Lord. What thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face." Paul feels alive again knowing that they're standing firm in Christ. Paul says he can't thank God enough for them because of their faith and their love. This clearly means so, so much to Paul. They're standing firm. That's why he told them how afraid he was. That's why now he's telling them how happy he is. He's trying to impress upon them how important it is and how thankful he is for their faith in Christ. That's a thankfulness that we share as we see each other's faith in Christ, as we see each other standing firm in faith in Christ. Look, there's people here at BPC, and maybe you're even one of them. There's people here who, when they first turned up here, they were a lot like the Thessalonian Christians. They were new Christians. This was the first church they ever turned up at, or the first church they turned up at without their parents taking them to church. And those people are still here, still faithfully following Jesus. Years later, even decades later, we can't thank God enough for that. Because for Paul, this is the most important thing, that we continue in Christ until the day he returns. And he's already hinted at this in the last verse of chapter 2, hinted at the fact that Jesus is coming back. And there's nothing more important and nothing so great and so wonderful as Christians standing firm in Christ on the day he returns. People persevering right to the end for the reward of belonging to Jesus forever. When we look around our church family, there's so many people faithfully following Jesus. It's a very common, everyday thing. We sort of come to expect it here. But don't ever let the fact that it's normal stop you from seeing that it's spectacular. It's so monumentally good when we see each other standing firm in Christ Jesus. There's just no way we could ever thank God enough for it. So Paul's fear, his desperate desire for the Thessalonians to keep standing firm, and his joy when they are standing firm, well, leads him to pray. He thanks God constantly that they're standing firm, and he prays that they would continue to stand firm. That's what he does in the last couple of verses. He prays that they would know Jesus. He prays that they would be ready on the day Jesus returns. Have a look at verse 11. He says, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." This little prayer is a really nice summary of everything Paul's just been writing about. The things that he prays here in this just couple of sentences reflect what he's just been saying. He prays that he would be able to go and visit the Thessalonians. And we know that he'd been trying, but he hadn't been able to. Again and again, Satan had blocked the way. Paul knows that there's a spiritual reality going on here, and so he prays to God the Father and the Lord Jesus that they would clear a way for him to go and visit them. And in fact, in verse 10, he says that he's been praying night and day for a chance to see them and encourage them in their faith. He prays as well that their love for each other would grow. He wants them to love each other the same way that he loves them. He wants them to love each other with the kind of love that sincerely wants them to be standing firm in Christ. The kind of love that is desperately worried and keen to do something about it if there's any chance that they're not standing firm in Christ. And then he also prays that they'd be strengthened. He prays that they would be holy and blameless when Jesus returns. Remember the undercurrent of this letter? The Thessalonians, they are really looking forward to Jesus' return. It's on their minds. Paul says what he wants more than anything is for them to be ready when Jesus does return, for them to be safe in Christ, standing firm in Christ when he returns. Facebook has that feature where you can mark yourself as being safe. Maybe even in this last week or so, you got a message on Facebook that asked, are you safe? And if you hit yes, then it shows up on your profile, such and such has marked themselves safe in the Central West flooding. Everybody knows you're safe. Now, I reckon if the Apostle Paul had designed Facebook, and there's a sentence I really never thought I'd say, but if the Apostle Paul had designed Facebook, he would have built in a feature where you could mark yourself safe in Christ. Standing firm, safe in the Lord Jesus. Because for Paul, that's the most important kind of safe. In all the suffering and affliction that is going on for the Thessalonians, he wants them to be standing firm, safe in the Lord Jesus, ready for his return. That's what he prays for. So I reckon there's a couple of things we can learn from the way that Paul prays. Firstly, again, notice that he wants the Thessalonian church to love each other with that same kind of love that he has for them. I think Paul would want for us, he would want us to love each other the way that he loved the Thessalonians. The kind of love where when we see each other standing firm in Christ, it fills us with immense joy. It's a real high for us to see each other following Jesus. It really brightens our day. We feel alive seeing each other following Jesus. When we look around BBC and see each other trusting Jesus and listening to Jesus and obeying Jesus and sharing Jesus, it makes us happy. We can't stop thanking God for it. It's the kind of love where if we see someone drifting from Jesus, we're afraid. We're distressed. Seeing someone drifting from Jesus, that hurts us and concerns us and moves us to do something. If we see someone under pressure, tempted away from Jesus, we're looking for any chance we can find to complete what might be lacking and encourage them in their faith. Kind of love that leads us to constantly spur each other on so that none of us will ever stop standing firm. Satan might not be using the Jewish leaders like he did in Thessalonica, but there are plenty of other things that Satan uses to tempt us away from Jesus, to pressure us to give up on Jesus. So we constantly spur each other on in faith because we would be devastated to see someone drift away from Jesus, to see someone not ready for Jesus' return. That would really break our hearts. Look, if you don't feel that kind of love for your church family, maybe the first thing to do is pray for yourself, that you would have the kind of love for your church family that Paul had for the Thessalonians. Notice as well, in everything Paul prays, he asks Jesus. He asks Jesus to clear a way for him to be an encouragement to the Thessalonians and visit them. He asks Jesus to increase their love for each other. He asks Jesus to establish their faith. Paul knows none of this is going to happen without Jesus doing it. Of course, that means that we also need to pray, don't we? We need to pray that Jesus would be at work as we meet up one-to-one to read the Bible together, as we meet in our small groups and help each other take God's word to heart, as we have thoughtful and Christ-centered conversations here on a Sunday, as we support each other in tough times, as we have each other over for meals, as we read the Bible with our kids, as we teach SRE, share Jesus with our friends, as we do all of those things, we've got to keep praying that Jesus would be at work, that Jesus would be establishing our hearts in holiness and readiness for his return. Because without Jesus doing it, well, it's not going to happen. Look, at the start I told you how we lost one of our kids on holiday. I'm ashamed to admit that was actually the second time that we misplaced one of our children on that same holiday. I feel like I've got some expertise at the moment, being separated from the people I love. The first time it happened, it was a different child, but we were at the finish line for the Sunshine Coast Marathon. And there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people packed along this kilometre stretch of road. And we had just walked from one side to the other, weaving through all of these packed crowds and stands and things. And when we stopped, we realized we'd been separated from one of our kids. And I've got to tell you, my heart sank. I was thinking, we're going to have to call up the organizers of the event. It could be hours before we find our child again. It was a truly awful feeling. It felt like a minor miracle that we found him as quick as we did. When we did find him, our hearts were all but bursting with relief and joy. It is a right and appropriate feeling when you discover someone you love is safe and sound. And friends, that's our feeling when we see each other standing firm in Christ Jesus. It is our hope, it's our crown of boasting, our glory and joy that together we're standing firm at the coming of the Lord Jesus with all his saints. So here's one thing that I would love for you to do this week. It's pretty straightforward. Would you please pray this prayer for each other? From this last bit of this section of 1 Thessalonians, would you pray this prayer? Because we would love to see each other standing firm, and it's Jesus that is going to make that happen. So look, I don't know what your prayer system is. Maybe use an app. If you do, paste the prayer in there. If you put post-it notes on your bathroom mirror, stick it up there. If you have a list on your fridge, write it on. But will you please pray this prayer for our church family? Because it's our joy, isn't it? It's our joy to see each other stand firm in the Lord Jesus. So I'm going to pray this prayer for us now. If you've got your Bible there, keep it open, because I would love for you to follow along with me as I pray this prayer. So, from chapter 3, verse 11. Let's pray. Our God and our Father and our Lord Jesus, please give us ways to encourage each other in our faith. Please make us increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as Paul loved the Thessalonians. And please establish our hearts blameless in holiness before you at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen.